again with the second of three of a set of three podcasts, the video podcasts that we're doing this evening. They're all going to be part of the same post. We've already previewed the American Conference, so if that's the one you're trying to watch,
it's up there.
Up there. Pause. Go up and get it. Yeah. If you look for the Mountain West, it's down below.
Down there. It's down there.
But this is going to be the Atlantic 10 podcast, back with David Griggs, John S., John T. I'm Chad Sherwood. And let's get right into the Atlantic 10 here. And for the second straight year, Dayton won multiple games in the NCAA tournament last season. Bringing back a few of their pieces. Let me start right over with you, David. Who do you think is going to win this conference, and is it going to be this Dayton team that's had such success the last few years?
I think it is. Here's the thing about Dayton. You say that they brought most of their pieces back. They didn't have any pieces last year.
That's true.
After losing two players to suspension, or maybe it was expulsion, I don't know. It was discipline reasons. They had two contributing players kicked off the team. They had other injuries. They basically went six deep, and their tallest post player was about my size. I mean, they had nothing in the post. And I have never seen – I know Dayton was in the Elite Eight before, and I don't want to downplay that, but I think a lot of it had to do with getting a lot of the right matchups. I was far more impressed with what they did last year, with how little they had. I don't think I've ever seen a team have so much go against it and get that much out of the sum of their parts as they did last year. And as good as Oklahoma is, they were right in that game with Oklahoma. Having played, I think it was their third game in 5 days, and really they had played three or four conference tournament games the week before that, and they were six deep. Now that they actually have all that coming back and then some, I think they could be really good this year. There is a personnel issue. They're going to be without one of their – is it Pierre?
Tyshawn Pierre.
Yeah, Tyshawn Pierre for the first 9 or 10 games. I believe he's currently not enrolled at the school. It's not a legal issue. We need to be clear about that. He's not in any legal trouble. It's a university code of conduct issue from what I understand, but he will be allowed to return as once the season ends, and they'll have him for the last 20 games or so of the season. I like this Dayton team a lot. There's some other teams in this league that I like as well, but yeah, I think they're going to win. Not only have they been the most impressive team in the Atlantic 10 probably over the last 2 years, they've probably been the best team in all of Ohio the last couple of years. Does anybody disagree with that?
Well, let me throw it over to John T. Let me throw it over to John T. Who's shaking his head there, not disagreeing. And with Dayton not having the size last year, do you think that they're going to be able to make up for that? I mean, one of the key players they brought in was not a size guy, Charles Cook, coming over from James Madison. But what do you think about having something down low this season to go that extra step?
So just to clarify, the story I read was that Pierre was suspended from school this semester following a sexual assault allegation. As nobody knows if it's true or not, just wanted to clarify that. Yeah. As far as their team, he'll be missed. I mean, he had 10 points in their loss to Oklahoma last March, and they have pieces with Charles Cook, Kendall Pollard. If you're ever going to bet against a guy named Scucci, good luck. I mean, Scucci's going to run this thing. Daryl Davis, like, they're solid. And besides Pierre, they're all non-seniors. So I think they're going to be even better next year. Archie Miller, great coach. Unfortunately, only the third best coach in his family is his brother, Sean, is a consistent Elite Eight performer. And his father won 600-plus games as a high school coach.
We'd mentioned that they're not going to have Pierre for those first 9 games. John, as you being our schedule guy, what do they have coming up during that first semester that may hurt them without having Tyshawn Pierre?
Well, they're going to be playing in the Advocare tournament in Orlando.
And that's a great event, actually. That's a real good event.
Yeah,
Iowa's there. Notre Dame's there. Wichita's there. Xavier's there. I forget who else is there. Oh, USC. Oh, my goodness. USC. Oh, wait, it's their basketball team. Never mind.
And they also play Alabama as part of a tip-off marathon on ESPN. And they also go to Vanderbilt and host Arkansas, although that's probably going to wind up being a cupcake game this year.
Yeah, I'm having a little technical difficulties here. I think I've got that cleared up. But let's move on beyond this Dayton team. Let me throw it over back over to John T. again. I think there's another team here that you like a lot in this conference. We were talking a little before we went on the air. Who else do you think is up there in this league?
So everybody across all the websites I've checked out seems to be riding Rhode Island as like the sleeper team in this conference.
Which means
on the good side, they bring in Paul McGlynn as a transfer from Towson. They already have E.C. Matthews, who was the conference co-rookie of the year in 2014, then scored 23 points in the NIT loss to Stanford last March. They got Hassan Martin as a sophomore. He had 4 blocks in the loss to Stanford, led the conference in blocks as a freshman. The only downside I see, schedule is decent. Maryland's going to be very tough, obviously. The rest of it's manageable. Dan Hurley, a great player. He won a high school national title for his dad, Bob Sr. He played in 3 tourneys at Seton Hall for P.J. Carlesimo and George Blaney. And he's a good coach. He's never coached in a single NCAA tourney, so I don't know that they're going to make some wild Sweet 16 ride or even get there. But the talent on the roster is there.
And I'd agree with you. I love the talent on this Rhode Island team. They're actually my pick to win the conference, even over Dayton. David, you had some comments on them?
I like them all as well. I mean, my big comment is, at what point, and I made this statement the other night during the SEC, at what point are you no longer a dark horse? I mean, Rhode Island is everyone's dark horse. A lot of people are picking them to win the league, so they're not a dark horse. That was my only comment. Everything John said was spot on. This is a really good team. It's been since the 99, since they made the NCAA tournament. I think they're in this year.
And let me stick with you for a second here, David. Another team that has been the talk of the A-10 probably for several years now, since they joined the A-10, has been VCU. Shaka is gone. We discussed that during our Big 12 podcast. He's now down in Texas. But they brought in Will Wade, who had been in one of his assistants, spent the last few years in Chattanooga, using his same system, calling it Chaos with the CHA for Chattanooga.
But what
do you think is going to happen with VCU now that we do have a new head coach here?
I think losing Shaka is he was such an asset to that program, both as an assistant and as a head coach. I do think that there is that they do lose something with that. But I also really like Will Wade. He did very well at Chattanooga. He really built them up. They were one of the better SoCon teams. I think he went to one tournament, didn't he, there? Or maybe not. But because Walford, yeah. But they were really going. I actually like Will Wade. I expect VCU's program to be inside the bubble more often than not, even though they lost Shaka. And the other thing about VCU, I think that a lot of general fans and casual fans think, they were nothing, and then Shaka Smart got there, and then they went from nothing to nationally ranked. They were certainly better under Shaka Smart than they ever had been in their history. But if you go back even to like the early 2000s, the teams under Capel when they made the NCAA tournament, they have been progressing slowly over time to where a mid-level Colonial team to one of the better teams into the Colonial that would regularly win 20 games to teams that were getting into the NCAA tournament. I think they lost to UCLA by a point 1 year, and was it Oklahoma or somebody? They lost as a 13 seed by 2 or 3 points 1 year. So there were several years of progression and consistent improvement, and then of course the year they beat Duke in the NCAA tournament. So they had been progressively improving over time before Shaka Smart gets there, and those are the programs that stick around. That maintain success. It seems like the ones that are able to get there and stay there are the ones that incrementally improved over time. I still think VCU will remain in the tournament more often than not.
Well, how
that
about
was Anthony Grant's team that actually?
Yeah, Anthony Grant, thank you.
Yeah, and how about how they're actually going to do on the court this year? Besides Shaka being gone, Graham and Weber are both gone as well. They do bring in a transfer from Oral Roberts, a scorer, Corey Bilbury, but let me throw it to John S. here. What do you actually think about how successful they may or may not be this season?
Well, I still think VCU is going to be in the hunt in the A-10 play this year. Could win 12 or either 12 to 14 games, depending on how their conference slate plays out. They do also have a challenging non-conference slate in New York, where they play Duke in either Georgetown or Wisconsin. And then they also play Florida State, Cincinnati, at Georgia Tech.
Well, with that schedule, John T., do you think this is a tournament team, or do you think that they take a step back maybe this year?
I mean, just to reinforce that schedule, like, a few months ago, Duke and Wisconsin were playing for the national championship, and now VCU might have them back-to-back. I mean,
that's insane.
Good luck.
Wow.
Their backcourt is fantastic. Everybody loves Mo Alie-Cox's hair and his athleticism and his energy. I don't know how the front court is. They're going to be, I think they'll make the tourney only because they have a history of that, and I think Wade, who was Shaka's assistant there, has learned from him and knows how to win. They're good. Their defense keeps them in every game. 2014, two-point overtime loss to Stephen F. Austin. 2015, three-point overtime loss to the Buckeyes. But I think they'll make it and then lose another overtime game because that's what they do.
Man, they burned up all their luck on that Final Four run. What's funny is that if you look at a 4 or 5 year span, I would have rated that Final Four team their weakest team out of that 4 or 5 years. But, that was the year they got into the tournament and just blew the world up.
That was the first four to the Final Four run.
Yeah.
But a team that I'm kind of looking at this year in the Atlantic 10 is this George Washington team. Now,
yes.
Savage transferred to Butler, and that does hurt. But they do bring in Tyler Kavanaugh, who's a Wake Forest transfer. They've got some seniors with Greeno, Larson, and McDonald. John S., you agree with me on George on the GW pick here?
Yep, it's Foggy Bottom. It's been a program that's been kind of up and down under Mike Lonergan, but I think this is a team that could possibly sneak back into the NCAAs this year. And we mentioned this on the ACC podcast earlier, where they also get Virginia coming into the Smith Center. Not a neutral site, their home court.
Well, John T., this GW team is in your backyard. You just want to jump on the orange line there to get to Foggy Bottom. What do you think of this GW team?
They're actually in the front yard. I work about five blocks away from the stadium. So
there you go.
I had hoped that my request for a credential to the Virginia GW game would be accepted. It is still in the process, but we'll see how that works out. They're a solid team, and like you said, the number of seniors means they are built to win now with Larson, Greeno, and McDonald bringing in. Everyone has an Ivy League transfer, it seems like, this year. Alex Middle from Dartmouth. Lonergan's a good coach. He was a national coach of the year at the D3 level back at Catholic University. He's been to a pair of tourneys. Schedule looks pretty tough. I mean, Virginia is a top 10 team. The rest of it is all those coaches that David loves, like Nebraska and DePaul and then Rutgers and everyone. So it'll be tough, but I think they'll be middle of the road. I don't know if they're ready to make the leap this year, but they have a bunch of seniors and a good coach.
David, a team that's named after you, I think. A team that
straight
I went
to
on
top.
Record not liking at all last season, but I finally had to give in when they won the A-10, got the top seed in the conference tournament. That I finally gave in, although I still am not impressed with the schedule they played last year. This Davidson team, what do you think about them heading into this year?
I like them. I was, again, I believe this was a team that was picked to finish 10th or 11th in the conference last year. And as much as I had liked this Davidson program and thought that they would be a player in the Atlantic 10, I didn't think they would be last year. I thought they were kind of at the bottom of their talent cycle. I think they lost two or three of their better players from the year before last year. But they came out here and finished first. And they looked really good for a lot of the year. I mean, they went into Virginia, lost the game, but played really well, and they ended up, I believe, I mean, they were really effective. I like them a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if they won the league again. That's how much I like them. Now, they have a lot coming back from last year. I'm not picking them to win the league. In fact, I think they're going to finish behind Dayton and Rhode Island, but I would actually have them all the way up at 3. And I think they're going to get back in the NCAA tournament. They're my sleeper or dark horse, not Rhode Island.
We'll have to see if Jack Gibbs stays healthy this year.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, he missed a few key games for the Wildcats last year.
Yeah, he did.
They have a pretty highly regarded kid from Serbia coming in this year as a freshman. John T., I know you follow freshmen a lot. You're smiling about him. you got some thoughts on Kovacevic, I think is his name, if I'm pronouncing it correctly?
God bless you. I thought you were going to say I'm an expert on Serbian recruiting, and I was going to say I cannot be too much with them. The schedule's a little tough. North Carolina and Cal, those are two solid top 25 teams. I don't think Bob McKillop gets enough credit, which is crazy because he's literally the winningest coach in the history of the conference. He's been there over a quarter of a century, and he's not getting worse. He's getting better. He was the conference coach of the year last year. My favorite fun fact about him, one of his high school classmates, Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's fun. A fun fact, everybody.
well, be going on down beyond Davidson here. David, I know you also mentioned before we went on the air that you kind of like this Richmond team, which I think you do every single year, and sometimes I agree with you. This year I'm not quite agreeing with you, but what do you like about them?
I still think that they have a pretty strong front court. I still like Chris Moody. They were really close to getting into the NCAA tournament last year. I don't know if I would go so far to say that they were snubbed, but I thought they definitely deserved it more than UCLA. I was kind of surprised when the committee released the next four teams and they were in there, but they were right there. But I like their front court. Their back court needs some work.
I wonder if they had beaten VCU a third time, could they have possibly snuck in as a surprise team instead of, let's say, UCLA?
When you see that they were that – because it was Temple, Miami, Richmond, and I forget the other team. Was it Old Dominion?
It was Colorado State.
It was Colorado State. Okay, thank you. And maybe so. I mean, I was kind of surprised that they were that close. I mean, I thought they were good last year. They were plagued with injuries, if I remember correctly, and they were dropping some games that really hurt them, but they were close.
Well, there are 14 teams in the Atlantic 10.
Yes, one of which was Chad's pick to finish fifth, I think, last year.
Yeah, we're not going to discuss much about Fordham tonight, but St. Bonaventure, St. Joe's, Duquesne, Fordham, St. Louis, LaSalle, George Mason, UMass. Got a couple new head coaches around there, especially at George Mason, where Paul Hewitt is finally gone. Although I think Georgia Tech is still paying him,
if they are, yes.
But of the rest of the league, is there anybody else that you're looking at as potentially a surprise team or a team of note here? Let me start with John T.
Not too many surprises. I do want to give a little shout-out to junior small forward DeAndre Bembry of the St. Joe's Hawks. He's just an amazing player who I think is way under the radar because, frankly, he plays for St. Joe's. He was top 10 in the conference last year in, like, everything. Points, rebounds, assists, steals. And he's only a junior this year, and I don't think he's going to come out after this year. So I think he's going to start putting up some career stats that, obviously, St. Joe's has a very rich history with guys like Delonte West and Jameer Nelson and stuff, as well as way back. But Bembry could be one of the all-time greats for a feeble Philly Big Five school.
Well, I was going to get to this in a second, but why don't I throw it at you right now? Do you think Bembry has a chance to be the player of the year in the conference this year, or is it more likely to go to a guy like Scoochie Smith or somebody from Dayton or Rhode Island?
I hate to pick against a guy named Scoochie, but I think Bembry might win it this year and next year. He's just that good with an all-around game. Obviously, I don't think his team is going to get to 500, which is going to hurt him, but on an individual skill level, he is the best player in the conference.
All right, let me throw it over to you with John S. now on the same question about the remainder of the conference. Any teams or any players of note that you have, with regard to the rest of the league?
I don't think they're going to be a contender, but I would also note that at St. Bonaventure, Mark Schmidt finally got his record with the Bonnies to above 500 last year, which is pretty impressive considering the state of that program after he took over in the early to late 2000s.
I actually think that they'll be competitive this year. I don't think not picking them for the tournament, but with Posley and Adams in the backcourt and right down low, I think they'll be a competitive team, and I think he'll be able to continue growing that record. I agree with you there. David, let me throw it over to you, and let me toss this Fordham team out to you, because I think you may want to tell us a little story about their new head coach, Jeff Neubauer.
Yes, Jeff Neubauer, in one of the greatest stories ever, and I'll keep this brief, he was at Eastern Kentucky, and he did very well there. Fordham, you know, in a talent-rich area with a lot of centrally located alum, they're one of those programs that you wonder why they're not better. And I'm not even talking about NCAA tournament good. I mean, how are you not top 200 good? How are you behind Columbia and Iona and Manhattan and, you know, St. Francis, Brooklyn? I mean, how are those schools in your own city better than you? But they finally did hire a good coach in Neubauer. Marshall offered him a job a few years ago, and he got in his car in Richmond, Kentucky, and started driving to Huntington, and he got halfway there, and his cell phone rang, and it was Marshall calling back, saying that they had changed their minds. They were going to offer it to someone else. That someone else was Mike D'Antoni of the L.A. Lakers. Marshall had it in their heads that Mike D'Antoni would like to leave the L.A. Lakers to come coach at Marshall, because, you know, who wouldn't want to do that? After Mike D'Antoni stopped laughing, presumably, he told them no and hung up. They then called Jeff Neubauer back. He was back at Eastern Kentucky, and they re-offered him the job. And the way he explained it was that he explained to them in no uncertain terms that he was no longer interested. I would have loved to have heard what he actually said to them, but is this a good move? Because Fordham is so bad. I mean, 80% of the time they're not in the top 200. They just can't seem to get anything going, which is really, really shocking that they're as bad as they are. Is this a good move for a person that I think is a good coach? I thought Tom Pekora, thank you, was good as well, and he couldn't do anything there. Is this just a bad job? Should he have taken it?
I think that I thought last year, obviously to my detriment, and Lee Delvecchio was with me, that I thought this Fordham team had some talent. So I'm interested to see how he does. If he can finish maybe in the top 8 or 9 of the conference this season,
that'd be phenomenal.
It'll be a phenomenal year. And on the other hand, if Fordham ends up at the bottom of the conference again, down there with the likes of St. Louis and George Mason, you may be right. And so it's going to be interesting to see what this Fordham team does from a – not that it's going to have any NCAA tournament impact. I want to throw out there one final note as well with regard to a team here, and that's LaSalle. Not that they're going to be any good this year, but I want to give a shout-out to their head coach, Dr. John Giannini, who coached Rowan to the Division III, I believe, national championship 20 years ago, and has actually scheduled this year with LaSalle a road game at Rowan, the very rare D1 team playing at a non-D1 team as part of the celebrations of the anniversary of that team. So I do want to give a shout-out for that. I think that's a neat move and a classy move. It's going to be an exciting atmosphere for Rowan College
for sure.
You know, just a few minutes outside of Philadelphia, having a LaSalle coming in. But let me throw it around to everybody again for any final thoughts about the entire Atlantic 10 here. Let me start with John T.
As long as we're giving some love, I want to send some to George Mason Senior Center, Siobhan Thompson. He is relatively unknown, I think, even in his own conference, much less around the country. He's got to deal with a new system this year as they bring in Coach Dave Paulson from Bucknell. He was born in Jamaica. All he did last year was average a double-double. Nobody knows about this guy. I have no idea if he wants to become a pro. I have no idea how he does against good competition. But their schedule is very weak, and I think he might put up another double-double. Unbelievable.
How about you, John S.?
I think this is going to be a conference that gets 4 bids to the NCAA tournament this year. Dayton and Rhode Island should be locks, and then there'll be 2 bids out of 3 from either GW, VCU, or Davidson, depending on how their schedules play out this year.
And David, you want to talk to us about Duquesne or?
No. Well, that's one of the things. I think there's a few too many teams in this league, considering that it's a basketball-centric conference. It doesn't need to be bloated out that big for football reasons. I like a lot of the teams in this league. I like a lot of the programs in this league. I always have. I think that it's kind of unfortunate that what is probably, I think, the second best basketball-centric league behind only the Big East now doesn't have a better TV deal. A lot of these games are buried on premium networks, you know, NBC Sports, CBS Sports, and I'd like it a little better if one of the top basketball-centric leagues could get a better TV deal. The money is ridiculous. The 14 club or program split $5 million every year. That comes out to, I think, less than half of what the Missouri Valley gets per school. Nothing against the Missouri Valley, but I mean, it is an exciting league, and I think a lot of people don't understand that just because it is so underexposed. Dayton's good. Rhode Island's good. I mean, this is a fun league to watch. It's always one of our favorite leagues, and I'd like to see it get more exposure than what it gets.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I live in the heart of A-10 country. I know I joke about being in Big Ten country, but I do live right not that far outside of Philadelphia, and it's difficult for me to watch any games if it's not a Temple, LaSalle. Well, Temple's not even in the A-10 anymore. If it's not a LaSalle or a St. Joe's game, sometimes it becomes difficult for me to even find one of these A-10 games on TV. But for David, Griggs, John S., John T., myself, if you want to keep watching, go right down below and check out the Mountain West podcast that we'll be recording coming up in just a few minutes.